Welcome to everybody. We are in the beginning of a brand new series, and I'm excited about this series. It's called Building Community, or the subtitle could be You're Made for Something Far Greater Than Yourself. And some people may wonder, like, how in the world do you guys decide what topic you're going to have for a series to preach on? Is it just a random thing? Do you guys, like, you know, just put a bunch of ideas in a box and pick one out? And I'm going to say, no, we don't do that. We pray, and I pray, and then I ask the preachers in our church to pray, and the leadership within our church, and then Bobby and I pray about it, and we kind of come up with ideas, and we land on what we believe is what the Lord is showing us. Usually what I'm looking for, however, is that one series is going to build on the other series. So we're not just doing a bunch of random series, but each series we're doing is supposed to build on the last one in a way that we get a sense of direction, that we're going somewhere as a church. And that's really important. So over the summer, we've done basically two series before this one. The first one was Heroes of the Faith. And the main purpose of that series, write this down if you didn't get to be a part of that, is to teach us that God uses imperfect people to do great things. And that God Himself is the main hero of the story. God is the one who comes in and usually wins the day. God will use even you and I. The purpose of that was that I wanted all of you to understand that throughout history, it's not because of the holiness of the people, but because of the goodness and the perfection of the God that they served. Amen? So you then, if you're really going to apply it, have to understand that means God can use me. No matter where I've been, no matter what I've done, no matter how I feel about myself, God loves me. We sang about it and sang about it. He is a good, good Father. And I'm loved by Him. Do you believe that you're loved by Him? God loves you, and He wants to use you. That's what you need to get out of that. Then we move to a series called Moves of God That Changed History. And the main purpose of that series was to begin to understand four common components of a revival or a move of God, and that was prayer. We need to pray for it. We need to ask for God's Spirit to fill us, an infilling of His Spirit. This is a move of God's Spirit. And often there is a rediscovery or a conviction, not a condemnation, but of a conviction of personal sin, which I think we need in our world today. And then preaching of the gospel of grace leading to a great harvest. So what there was is prayer, then the power and the infilling of the Spirit, conviction of sin, and then the preaching of the gospel that brought in a great, great harvest. And remember that it's a move of God. It's, again, God who initiates and we participate. God is moving. We join Him in what He's doing. And that leads us to the series that we're starting right now, which is Building Community. You're made for something greater than yourself. And how this builds on or connects to the last two series goes like this. Every true move of God is, at some point, has to become a movement for God. And the difference between a move of God versus a movement of God or for God is people. It is connection. It is a community begins to form around this move of God. God will often use one or two people to initiate a move of God, but if it doesn't quickly become a community, then it will not spread and it cannot develop into a disciple-making movement. And that's what we're called to. We're called by Jesus to make disciples in every nation. It has to go beyond ourselves. It has to move beyond a little group into a community that then spreads across the world. And that's what we want to become. That's what we're talking about, is that God wants to move us from just praying for a move of God, but becoming a community that actually He can use. Okay? You get it? So that's what we want. We want God to move us to pray for this outpouring of His Spirit, for a move of God to happen, for deep conviction of sin to happen both in us and in the world, for repentance leading to a great harvest of new believers. And in order for that to happen, we need to learn to become a healthy community of faith that God can bring this harvest into. God can entrust us to disciple these people in a healthy way. That's what we want to have happen out of this series. You guys up for that? Okay. So today we're going to look at what I believe is the foundation of biblical community. Everything must start with God. And so the first place we need to build community is we build community with God. Most scholars reject the idea today that God created us because He was lonely, because He needed somebody to love. The Scriptures reveal God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if we understand that, we realize that perfect community already has existed from the very foundations of everything. It has eternally existed in the Godhead from eternity. I'm not going to defend the Trinity. I'm going to hope that most of you here understand and believe that. If you need it defended, you can talk to me later. But the point is that we believe that God is revealed in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that the three are one. And in the Godhead, the one God, there is this perfect community, this perfect love that flows between one person of the Trinity to the other, to the other. And so the fact is, God didn't need us. That's important to understand. God didn't need us so that He could fill His need. Instead, God wanted to expand the perfect community that already exists in His very nature. Amen? Creation is God widening the sphere of His love. God wanting to expand it more and more and more to include you and I, to include humanity. And evangelism and mission that Nancy talked about is God's call to us to work with Him in continuing to broaden that ever-increasing community of love. That's what the whole thing is about. In one sense, the whole Christian life can be explained or looked at through the lens of connecting to God's ever-flowing love that exists within His person. Everything is about us connecting to that and then connecting other people to that. The kingdom of God is irrevocably connected to the idea of community. You cannot separate it. In one sense, you can be a Christian on your own. Yes, you can go through a time when you're struggling and you're on your own. You don't want to go to church. You're not part of the church. God doesn't abandon you in those moments. But you need to realize that that is not His ultimate intent for any of us. That we are built to be placed into community. We are called into something. We are saved into something. Into His kingdom. Into His family. Into His community. In the late 17th century, a theologian and professor in the University of Aberdeen, Scotland, his name was Henry Scougal, and he wrote this little book. It was actually a letter to a friend who was struggling in his faith, and he wrote this. It became a little book, and it's based on basically what I'm going to talk about today, this idea that we are connected to the love that flows between the Trinity, between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The name of the book is The Life of God in the Soul of Man. The Life of God in the Soul of Man. If you remember my sermon on the Great Awakening, which was part of the moves of God, one of the primary leaders of that first Great Awakening was a man named John Wesley. And Wesley read that little book, and it transformed, he says, his understanding of salvation. He said, I read that book and for the first time I understood what it really meant to be saved. And then he gave that book to his friend, George Whitefield. George Whitefield, he read it and he said this, I never knew what true religion was until God sent me this excellent little treatise. And here's one of the quotes from this book by Henry Scougal on the life of God in the soul of man. He says this, true religion is the union. Now everybody, I don't know that we fully get this. If you get this, it should make you leave this place believing anything is possible in your life. I want us to really get it. The true religion is the union of the soul with God. A real participation of the divine nature. The very image of God drawn into and upon your soul. Just think about that for a minute. The life of God, the title of the book, the life of God, the divine nature, the communion of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How the Father delights, he says, in the Son. And the Son obeys out of love and unity with the Father. And the Spirit glorifies the Son and glorifies the Father. And you have this, the Spirit and the Father and the Son, each deferring to the other, just loving one another, the power and the purity of God, the fullness of God, and the love, church, oh, the love of God that has eternally flowed from one to the other for all of eternity, so much so that Paul just is swept into this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He exclaims in one of his letters that God is love. Period. Its source is his divine nature. Love has always been, always will be, because it is expressed perfectly in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Wow. And, church, this is the part that should make you go, what? That life, the life of God has been made available for you through Jesus Christ. You ought to say amen to that right now. Amen? That life has been opened up to you. You can actually enter in. That's one of the things about why I felt that word from the Lord was true. About the separation has been taken away and you can enter in. It's open to, not because of how great you are, but because of what Jesus has done for you. And I want to call us, all of us this morning, to allow this love, this communion found in the Trinity to affect our relationships, to affect our relationships with each other, because that's ultimately what this is meant to do. The love of God in the Trinity is both our source and our model for community with each other. It's the source of how we're going to live it out, and it is our model for how we are to treat one another. Let me show you what I mean by looking at Jesus' words for a moment in John 16, 13 to 15. And like I like you to do, please read it with me. You can read it silently or read it along with me, but that'll help you to really get it into your spirit. But when he, this is Jesus speaking, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This should blow our mind. I know you've read it 1,000 times, but every time I read it, if I contemplate it. It should blow my mind. Because why? Because we have all three, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And what do you see in there? He will speak. He will guide you. Who's going to guide you? God, the Holy Spirit, into all of His truth. Whose truth? God's truth. You're getting invited into something, folks, that you didn't have access to before. God's truth. God's reality. God's thoughts. God's ways. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will speak only what He hears. Who is He hearing from? He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to who? To you. All that belongs to the Father is what? Mine. So what is He going to take? All that belongs to the Father, He's going to take that and He's going to give it to you. That should blow your mind, folks. That should. If it doesn't, then we're not getting it. All that belongs to... That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and He will make it known to you. Now I want to see something here. The Father gives all things to the Son. And then the Son gives all things to you and I. And He does it by His Spirit. Through His Spirit. I mean, this should rock our world. I want to show you also that each person has a part to play in the Trinity. They, in a sense, defer to one another. The Spirit will not speak His own words. He's going to speak the words that He gets from the Father and from the Son. He'll glorify the Father and the Son. And we'll see all the way through Scripture how Jesus says, "Glorify Me now, Father, even with the glory that I had with You before the foundations of the earth." There is this interdependence that is in the Trinity that is meant to actually be how you and I function in the body. Paul's going to show us that. But I want to show you a neat little slide here. I like this diagram of the Trinity. It's one of the diagrams that I found online. But it really shows that through Jesus, we have been invited in. Paul says, "You're now in Christ." How many of you believe that? He says, "You were crucified with Christ. You were raised with Christ. Man, you are in Him, and everything about Him is in you." I mean, that just should shock you right there. But here it is in the picture. You are in the Son, but because the Son is connected to the Father and the Spirit, then you have full access to the Father and the Spirit. Amen? And this relationship, this amazing life of God, the life that flows, you know, when John talks about this, he in his gospel, there's three things that he talks about: life and light and love. Those three things. The life of God that flows from the Father, in the Spirit, in the Son, is now yours. His life. Flowing in you. You are invited in through the cross. And because of that, Paul says that those who were far off have now been brought near. And I would say to you, even more than near, sin had separated you from the life of God. But now, because of what Jesus did, you were now brought back into His presence. You can come near. You can come in to the Holy of Holies. But even more than near, you are connected to the life of God. Now, it doesn't mean you become another member of the Trinity. Well, there's a lot of us now. God's more than one. He's like 2 billion. No. No, that's heresy, just in case you're wondering. God is God, Father, Son, and Spirit. We're invited in, though, in the Son, to participate. We live eternally because He is eternal. because we share in his life. Think about it, the tree of life that was denied us now we have access to. We live in it because he has brought us near.
I want to show you another diagram that explains this a bit, and it's how a Christian becomes participators in the divine nature. And as you see, this one on the right is kind of like the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And oftentimes in Scripture, Jesus says, my Spirit or the Father's Spirit. It's one Spirit that is shared by the Father and the Son, and you have all of those. But we've been invited in. So this one over here represents how we've been invited in. The Christian now, through the Son, shares in all that the Father has through the Spirit. So that shows you a picture of how you enter into the divine life. But I wanted to add one more part to it. So go to the next slide. Look at how good I did that, eh? Because I had to add it myself. Anyway, in this is how we now are to expand it. This thing has to grow. It has to keep moving. And we are called to now be one with each other and with those who God is calling by His Spirit. So there is this oneness that we are to share. Jesus is going to talk about this. A oneness that we share that comes from the Spirit who is one with the Father and the Son. We now enter in and we are supposed to express that oneness, and we're supposed to give it away. We're supposed to keep it growing. The Spirit, it says, lives within us. We have become the temple of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of God. God in us, us in God. The Spirit makes known to us all the things of the Father and the Son, and the Spirit will give us words to speak. Okay, so he gives us his words to speak, and he actually takes our words and makes them his own, and so on. And so all of that is happening, and we are then to take this privilege we have, this access we have, and now move it to the next person. Let's look at John 17, 20 to 23. This is Jesus' prayer for us. I pray also, read it with me if you can. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory, the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Those who believed in their message, this is the others in that slide, and together all of us are going to be joined, ultimately what Jesus is saying, to the Father and the Son, the same way that He is one with the Father and the Spirit, then we partake in that oneness. We are to become one just as they are one. That same unity that is in the Godhead is meant to be exhibited in the church. Now that should convict us. Hello? Is it still with me? Shouldn't that convict us a little bit? The unity that is in the Godhead should be the unity that is in us, according to Jesus' prayer. I pray that they would be one, even as you and I are one, Father. And here's another thought to ponder. Do you think God is going to answer Jesus' prayer? So is it possible? Can we enter into it? Can we partake in it? But we can't partake in it if we simply are living out of our own ability to be unified.
If our source of unity is trying to get along, trying to love people, trying to compromise, oh, I hate that guy, but I have to be nice to him because, you know, he's part of the church. If it all comes from in here, it will go nowhere. It has to come. It has to come. Go back to the other slide for a moment. From there. From him. From the life of God. See, it's the life of God, the community of God, that now lives and dwells within you, that then you start to live out of that. And that's where unity comes from. That's where community actually is built. There is no community. There is no real community. As much as our world is looking for community, as much as our world sometimes even does a better job of it than the church does, but there is no real community outside of community with God. Outside of connection with the one ultimate universal true community, which is the Trinity. You get that? Okay. Where am I? Go back to the other slide now. Okay. He is our model for unity. He is our source for unity. He is our power and provision for unity. We all share, according to Jesus, of the same Spirit. So what we're looking for is unity in the Spirit. Unity from the Spirit. Love and unity, according to what Jesus says, is the hallmark of our community. It is what will make the world actually take notice of us and will say to one another, see how they love each other. Maybe, just maybe, their God is God. The book of Ephesians has a lot to say about this kind of unity. Look at it with me. Ephesians 4, 1-6 says this, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you, this is Paul speaking, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What calling is that? I believe he's talking about the life of God. Live a life worthy of the access you have been given to the very presence of the living God. Give me five. This is what he says here. Be completely humble. Be gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, what is that? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, patience, love, self-control. That's the fruit, Paul says, of the Holy Spirit living in you. And what he's saying in this is the unity that we're called to is dependent on us exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. Humility, gentleness, patience, peace, bearing with one another, self-control. And make every effort, he said then, to keep what? The unity of the Spirit. So he's talking about the Spirit here, the unity of the Holy Spirit, the unity that binds us together, the bond of peace. We're bound by the Spirit of peace. There's one body, he says, one Spirit that you're called to, one hope that you're called into, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I want you to get it here. He's talking about the fact that God is in everything here. It's about connecting to Him. And through that, that's where unity comes. One faith. One faith that is in one Spirit. One God. See, sin fractures everything and divides everything. And when Jesus came and died on the cross and rose again from the dead and ascended to the very right hand of God, in that place he is bringing all things together. All things together.
for the glory of God. And so there is a unity that comes when the Spirit of God comes, when the kingdom comes. Then division actually is supposed to stop happening, and unity and love and grace and oneness is supposed to take its place. And that's what Paul's saying here. There is one Lord. So you are all part of, you know, it's not about Apollos and Paul. Oh, I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Paul, or I'm a Baptist, I'm a Vineyard. Vineyard's the best by far. I mean, you could think that. That might be okay. It's a small sin. But what I'm saying is when we go there, we miss the whole point. But it has to be lived out here first in a way that it's sacrificial, folks. It's hard to live like this. It's not easy to not want to glorify yourself. It's hard to defer to others. It's really hard to live your life in a way that says, I care about the other person every bit as much as I care about myself. Jesus says, love one another as much as you love yourself. To live this life, to be this kind of community, it means there's days when we have to say, I'm not going to go and watch, you know, my show on Netflix. I'm actually going to go out and try and feed the poor. I'm going to go to my neighbor. I'm going to invite people into my life that I don't really want to because they're so different from me. I'm going to actually try and care about my brother. I'm going to actually pick up the phone and phone them. I'm going to actually go over to their house. I'm going to make a meal for them. Those things are hard to do consistently, aren't they? And yet what Jesus says is if we will love each other in a way that the whole rest of the world kind of scratches their head about, then he says the world will know that I'm real. Let's invite the worship team to come up right now. We'll end it there. Let's stand up and we're going to worship the Lord for a minute. Let's pray, and then I'm going to get the team we're going to worship the Lord. But I want us to pray about something, like we can look at this amazing truth that God has invited you into the very life of God, into the very dynamic presence of the Trinity Himself, where there are conversations you're privy to. He gives you the things the Father gives the Son gives to you. The Spirit makes known to you. The Spirit flows in you and then talks to somebody over here. That's one of the reasons why we love the prophetic, is partly what we're demonstrating is if the Spirit is talking to you about something and you realize that you got the same thing, you were feeling the same thing, then we get a sense. The Spirit is one Spirit. One Spirit. Amen. And we want to give Him an opportunity to speak the things of the Father, to make them known to us. Lord, we just pray right now together that we want to live our life. So the first thing takeaway out of this message for us this morning is just maybe you haven't connected to the Trinity. Maybe you've never said, I want to receive what Jesus did on the cross for me.
If that's you, you can do it right now. It's a very simple prayer. All you have to say is, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but my sin has separated me from you. I acknowledge that. And I repent. I turn to you right now, and I want to come in to you and be with you and you with me. I, Lord Jesus, ask you to forgive my sins, to fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. Just say that to him. Right where you're at right now, just say, Lord, I give you my life. Be the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Forgive my sins. And I want to follow you from this day forward. If that's you, just right now, just pray that prayer. And if you've prayed that prayer, one of the things that Jesus says is you should tell someone. You should tell someone about it. Because the devil wants to come and snatch that away from you. He wants to take it away. And if you leave here and don't say anything, the devil will come and say to you, you shouldn't tell anyone because, wow, what an embarrassing thing to do. What God wants you to do is come forward, tell one of the leaders, tell a friend, tell me. You can tell a Christian. We'll be super excited. We won't reject you. We will be super excited. So if that's you, come forward and tell someone at the end of the service. But if you're already a Christian, and maybe this message is just saying to you, I had no idea what I had access to through the cross. And so we just pray right now, Holy Spirit, come and just fill your church with your presence, with your life in a fresh way this morning. That they hear you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They can hear you. They are participants in the community of God. By your Spirit. Right now, just say, I want to be joined. I want to be my soul, my spirit joined to God's Spirit. I want to join, Lord. I want to be connected to you. I just ask you, Lord, to make that real to me, to make it known to me. May the life of God flow into me this morning in a fresh way. Just pray that. Mean it. God will do it. He'll come. He's going to do that. He will. He longs to do it. The last thing, just to take away, a thing to take home with you is, Lord, I want to express this love beyond myself. I commit today, Lord, with your help and in the power of the Holy Spirit, to be a conduit, to be one who is expanding this community of love. But I'll love my neighbor. I'll love the people in the church. I'm going to love, Lord, my family in a way that expresses the love that flows in you. I want that. I'm going to do it, Lord. I'm going to do it this week. This week I'm going to just start. Show me. This is a prayer. Show me, Lord, where I can do that. Let's worship.